Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paranormal Truth Seekers. I'm Ricky, your host for this evening. Welcome back, my returning listeners. If it's your first time tuning in, please click that follow button. Feel free to enter the live chat and talk with us there. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, guys, welcome once again. This is Ricky with my guest to co-host tonight with Josh. How's it going, Josh?
Going well, sir. How are you doing?
Well, you can hear me, so that's a good start in the right direction.
Indeed, that definitely is a plus.
You're coming in really good tonight, too. So far, so good. Should be a good show. Let's jump in.
Yes, sir. It's been a couple weeks, man. Been a lot going on. Not only that, in the world as well, man. Stuff's getting crazy in the world as you've been sending me all this stuff on the nuclear war possibilities and whatnot. And I think it's important to talk about like the idea of like nuclear holocaust and stuff because of how much, you know, in recorded history there has been, you know, different accounts of essentially us destroying ourselves, and like we're all watching it unfold right now. It's wild. Like the idea of Atlantis, Lemuria, like there's nuclear stuff in like almost every mythology, man. It's wild. And we're just going to let our leaders destroy us. And it's
right where they hide on the ground.
Out, right? Mm-hmm. Right. It's like, I mean, they built bunkers way back in the day for all that
stuff. They're still functional. They're still there. Up in the mountains, on the ground.
Right. So the last episode we were talking about, we mentioned that we were going to talk about, this one is called the Atlantis and Lemuria. For those that don't know, have never heard of Lemuria, because honestly, before recently, I had never really heard of it either. It's like considered another lost continent. That's just like the idea of Atlantis and a lost continent. But, you know, like the evidence on all this, like scientifically, is really difficult to find. And it was actually put forth, like, let's see, it's back in, was proposed in 1864 by zoologist Philip Sclater. So it's theorized to have sunk beneath the Indian Ocean, later appropriated by occultists and supposed accounts of human origins. So this is the Wikipedia thing. Wikipedia is often really biased when it presents this kind of stuff, obviously. Like it's like, oh, that's, we're going to give you this fact, but we're also going to tell you in the same sentence that it's BS.
Sounds about right.
So like the hypothesis and the idea from the name Lemuria actually comes from it was a proposed explanation for the presence of lemur fossils in Madagascar and India, but not Africa and the Middle East. So, like, they couldn't figure out why they would be there. So they suggested, like, maybe there was, like, a continent, like, there was a land bridge that they were able to walk across, according to this. But I guess then it goes on to say that with plate tectonics, it was debunked and all that neat stuff. But, again, this is just somebody's account, and like there's all sorts of like, this is taking me down a crazy rabbit hole researching Lemuria. It really has, and I love it. I love kind of research. Like first it was hard to find like anything on it, but because like when you search Google for stuff like that, like Google tends to, they hide. I'm looking for a different word. Yeah. Censor. That's the word. They censor a lot of search results. And a lot of people don't realize that. So, like, when you research stuff like this, it's best to use, like, the Tor network or use VPN so that way, like, you know, pretend to be somewhere that you're not and, like,
essentially flag you down.
Like, I used to spend lots of time researching news from other countries. Like, if you go on a Tor network and say you research the news in Europe or, you know, India, China, like, the way they present the news is crazy, and it's like polar opposite of us. Like we'll be telling a story and then they'll tell the same story in a different way. Kind of fascinating, man. It's all just a big mind game, really.
That's all it is. They hide the truth from us, but you got to go across the world to see what the truth is.
Yeah, as I was telling you a little bit ago, this is going to be kind of a wing it kind of thing because my kids destroyed all my notes. It's like the whole dog ate your homework thing, except for this actually happened. So I had like 10 minutes to put all this, like just write some little key points, and I'm going to try to because I have it all pulled up on my computer. It's just like different. I had it summarized, and now I don't have it summarized. You know what I'm saying?
That's all good. We'll wing it. Should be still interesting nonetheless.
Correct. Yeah, I don't know, man. The from like a little bit. So before I thought maybe that Lemuria, because there are stories that they, you know, they existed at the same time as Atlantis. But like the more I'm reading into the different stuff, like I found more evidence on, you know, these different websites or more accounts, if you will, that like they existed prior to Atlantis, like way prior, prior to even like maybe even the Anunnaki landing on Earth, if that's, you know, if these numbers are correct. And that's led me to think, you know, like as I've gone through the Anunnaki story and as I, you know, the more I learn about it, so they're telling it from their perspective, and it never says in these Sumerian tablets that they were the only ones that came to Earth, right? This was their story about coming to Earth and why they came here, and then they created the genetic slave race. But it does not say that, you know, again, just like it doesn't say in the Bible, that we were the only creations, right? Or that they were the only ones that were here. So that's the thing. You gotta learn to think outside the box. It's not necessarily telling you, you know, that this is all that there is, right? And then like a long while back when I used to watch all these videos on Gaia a lot, like there's lots of people who were talking about that there was civilizations that existed and they would actually conceal themselves from the Anunnaki because they were warlike, essentially not good people, not good beings, like, which literally is littered in their literature, like, they were warlike. They were always at, you know, at each other's throats, much like we are, for absolutely no reason at all. It doesn't make any sense.
So they were more human-like, you know?
Right. And so a lot of these stories that I'm getting about the Lemurians is like they were from like an entirely different star system. Like they didn't, you know, part of the things I've read is that they didn't actually use words. They were telepathic, which is what you hear about a lot of, you know, extraterrestrials, is that they don't use words. They use their minds. And that's eventually like what we would get to according to like, you know, people who have had near-death experiences and like the afterlife, you would essentially a lot of it's telepathic as well. Like you can just, you just know what the person is thinking, right?
That's
right. You don't even have to use your words.
Yeah, language is a human perspective. Even animals don't talk per se.
Right. You ever thought about it? Like, what if they, I mean, they obviously make sounds and stuff with their words. Like, what if they're just communicating through mind and like,
we had no idea.
I'd be nuts. We really don't.
Yeah, right.
Just like we have no idea how a bird can find something, you know, go to a certain direction and like 3,000 miles, it knows exactly where it needs to go. Like there's still no scientific evidence, like why that occurs, like how they know, how whales are able to circumnavigate the planet. I mean, I guess whales are probably super intelligent, first of all, but birds, I mean, they got cool ass planets.
They say dolphins are the most intelligent species on the planet, though.
Right. Man, have you ever heard the stories from the, I think it's the South American, some of the South American tribes or whatever, they have like myths in their myths or whatever, they say that a lot of humans became dolphins. And I find it kind of fascinating, man, because like, you go to, like there's a story in Hawaii where these people actually swim with dolphins and like, there's like a, they call it a cult, of course, because anything is a cult to people who don't understand it, but like they're saying these dolphins literally, they're like, they have souls, and I believe it. I honestly believe that any animal that attains a certain level of intelligence becomes conscious and
self-awareness.
Like, that's what conscious, you know, right? Self-awareness. Man, I spent a lot of time watching stuff on dolphins, dude. Like they have stuff like they rub, you know, themselves on plants that are antibiotic in nature, all sorts of stuff, dude. Like they're super smart.
Oh, yeah, they definitely are.
So one of the other things about, or the one of the main sources I've been reading on the Lemuria, Lemuria.
Lemuria.
That up at least 10 more times. Or Mu. It's called MU on a lot of these things. One of the places I've gotten a lot of information and that's taken me down some deep rabbit holes is the Rudolf Steiner Archive. And, honestly, this is nuts. So for those who don't know who Rudolf Steiner is, Like, him and Edgar Cayce are really famous psychics or clairvoyants.
Yes.
So he was born February 1861, and they call him an Austrian occultist, social reformer, and esoteric. Of course, that's what they call everybody. Anyway, plain clairvoyant. So he gained initial recognition at the end of the 19th century as a literary critic and published works like The Philosophy of Freedom. Essentially, he would go into like trance states, and he would speak, you know, from a source that he called, according to him and Edgar Cayce, they were getting it from a place called the Akashic Records. And they were accessing this place through a trance state. And like Edgar Cayce is a, you know, he was famous because he was able to diagnose like all kinds of people when he had like no formal medical training. And like his diagnoses of these people were like spot on, and it was, he didn't even have to come to their house. Like he would do it from his house, and he would like essentially appear to them, which is something that you, if you're trained right, you can do it. Like through meditation, you're able to leave your body and project yourself, you know, somewhere else.
Yes, astral projection.
And it's nuts how many cases like that are, this is documented too. This is documented like scientific proof that this kind of stuff is possible. It's just buried and not something that we're taught, because why would they want us to know we have this kind of ability? And it's not just special people. Like most people think it's just a few special people that can do this. No, like anybody can do it if you train yourself to do it.
And we all do it, even if it's unconsciously, we all do it.
Right. I mean, yeah, some people do it like when you go to sleep. A lot of people do it, like you. I mean, you're telling me like all kinds of stuff. Like, that's essentially what it is you're projecting your consciousness into another place.
Yep.
yeah, man, like this stuff is definitely super, super fascinating. But like, so he wrote apparently everything down that he ever, you know, that he was channeling through this stuff in these various books. And like, these guys got, there's so much material in here, like about Lemuria, about Atlanteans, about like, and it's actually correlated with a lot of these other things that I've read and watched. Let's see if I can find the thing right here. Like, I didn't have time to read through this entire thing today, but like part of the main things I was thinking was that they call them the Lemurians a pre, like they were the third human root race. So they were, apparently Atlantis was the fourth. So they predated Atlantis by quite a long time. And that's what I find interesting, because a lot of the other accounts I've read like says that like maybe they existed at the same time and that there was a war and that's what ended up sinking the two. But again, I need to put a, like a little cliff note here that history, because when we're dealing with times as far back as this, it's really impossible to know for sure, because not only time buries stuff. So like, yes, we can find evidence of ruins that go back, you know, 10,000, 11,000 years, but like you can see how worn they are. Right. So anything further than that, you know, it's going to, the earth itself is just going to erase it. So not only, there could be, you know, thousands of civilizations that existed, you know, if not, you know, infinite numbers that existed on this planet that we would have no idea of. Like, when we talk about the dinosaurs, we're talking about millions of years ago. And then there's this time frame in between. It's like we go from millions and all of a sudden we get humans pop up in this little tiny fraction of a window of time. Like, what happened during all the rest of that time?
I mean, there's conspiracy theories that dinosaurs didn't even exist, you know.
Yeah, that's funny that you mentioned that, because that was another thing that I decided I was going to go down a rabbit hole on, because I see the thing that popped up on the, it was a meme that popped up, somebody searching on Google, like, the CIA invented dinosaurs, so it would discourage time travel. I don't know, man, that's pretty fascinating. I mean, I guess we do got the bones, though. The bones, I would say maybe prove it, but... Like, that was one of the arguments, too, is that some people, the argument was like, oh, yes, maybe they constructed those. Like, I mean, I guess they could have, like, Who really knows?
Archaeologists,
and
all these people, these scientists, supposedly find it. But have you ever met somebody that is your everyday Joe, just go out digging and all of a sudden find a dinosaur bone? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you find, like, I've seen people find, like, fossilized sea creatures and stuff like that, but, like...
Well, yeah.
No, I've never found, like, heard about anybody. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. Just, like, the idea of, like, when people are said to have found giants, like... That, see, people,
yeah.
That's the flip side of that one. People are actually said to found giant bones, and then all of a sudden they disappear and are like, oh, yeah, no, that never happened.
Oh, it's fake. Yeah, it's Photoshop.
Yeah, but... Again, we know so very little about the true history of this planet, and it's freaking obvious.
Like, it's kept from us, yeah.
Everything we know, again, everything we know comes from what we were taught in school. Like,
mm-hmm.
And it's, yes, this is the exact way it is. And, like, one of the ideas on that conspiracy thing I went down the rabbit hole about the dinosaurs is, like, they talked about that, or they put that out there to try to convince us that evolution is real, to add fuel to that fire of evolution.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, like they became birds or whatever it is.
But not
I mean, that
dinosaurs
could be
had feathers. Where did that come from all of a sudden? At first they were saying dinosaurs were reptilians or lizard-like, but now they're saying dinosaurs have feathers. They're more bird-like. So which is it?
Right, right. I know, man. And like, we have it all in our minds. Like, Jurassic Park was the... You know, that was the freaking, that was the way they are. Yeah, this big giant
mm-hmm.
T-Rex trying to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Those movies used to be good. I don't know about the new ones, though. They're terrible. Anyway. I didn't like the newest one. I thought it was garbage.
I haven't even seen the newest ones for that reason. The old ones are the best ones.
Dude, they blew such trash, man. I tried to like it, but, and I'm a diehard fan, too. Getting off on this. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, man.
We just have no way of knowing.
Yeah, we really don't. And
unless you build your own personal time machine, that's the only way.
Right. And even then, like, that's the idea that you could go back. I mean, how do we even know? We don't have any idea how time actually works. Like, we don't even know if you're able to go back, right? Like,
right.
I mean, that's the thing, like, we think of time as a straight line, and like you were saying before, like, what if it is not at
it's
all
not.
A straight line?
It's more like a river flowing.
Right.
I compare it to a VHS tape. You know, you got a VHS tape, a movie, you pop it in your VCR, for kids that don't know what those are, it's before DVDs or whatever, but that tape has the entire movie already on it, but you got to play it from beginning to the end. But even though you're playing it from beginning to the end, it's not happening in real time. It's all pre-recorded on that VHS tape. And I think time is that way with us, too.
So I do want to mention, like, because I mentioned the Akashic Records, and I know that you know what that is, but most people probably have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about.
It's a library of
the
astral planes.
Right. So, like, what the Akashic Records are, again, here's good old Wikipedia to the rescue here. just a basic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in the region of, it's called Theosophy. Oh, it's the religion. They call it the religion of Theosophy, of course. And the philosophical school called Anthroposophy. Whatever, I'm terrible with that word, okay? Don't judge me. the Akashic Records are a compendium of all universal events, thoughts, words, emotions, and intent to have ever occurred in the past, present, and future in terms of all entities and life forms, not just humans. They are believed by this religion to be encoded in the non-physical plane of the existence known as the mental plane or astral plane.
Or the astral. Right.
Right. Again, for those that don't know, like, the mental plane is the place where your thoughts are. So, like, most people think that their thoughts aren't real. Like, they do. Your thoughts are as real as your hand on the mental plane. And that's why it's best to pay attention to any thoughts that you come across your mind and know that they are real. They're things. Thoughts are things. And that's, one of the ways to begin to take control of your life.
The thoughts are actually more real than your body are. That's your true self inside your body.
That's one of those mind Fs.
Oh, yeah.
People don't realize when you talk verbally, that's your brain telling the body what to say, but that's the body talking, not you. That voice in your head, that's you talking.
Right. Like this is our ego self, if you will, right? Like that's the self that we present to the world and the outside is mainly our ego self, unless you've learned to master over your ego, but most people have not. That's a pretty advanced level, you know what I mean? Most people literally are their ego walking around.
Like, of course, I'm aware of the ego being there, but I still haven't mastered how to control it. Like, basically, your consciousness and your ego are balanced and intertwined, but yet there's still two separate consciousness. You're literally two separate beings in one body.
Right, exactly. Oh, man. That stuff is, like I say, man, as somebody who has definitely partaked in a lot of psychedelics in my life, to me, it's easy to tell you that the mental plane is real. Like, your thoughts are absolutely real. It's sometimes you need a mind-altering substance in order to really believe it. And, like, I think that's what I was saying. I think everybody should do, like, you know, at least mushrooms in their life at least one point at, you know, freaking, you know, magic.
Yeah.
Because it changes everything.
Yeah.
It changes the whole way you think about everything.
Well, there's a reason why it's all illegal, so to speak. They don't want you to access
it. Yeah, those. I know, that shit cracks me up. Like, they're like, oh, there's a high potential of abuse, man. Nobody's over here abusing magic mushrooms because you ain't got that kind of time, man. It's a commitment. You can't just function amongst society when you take that stuff. Like, that's a commitment. Like,
I would imagine so.
Yeah, it really is. It's like 5 or 6 hours.
Well, do you have any quick experiences you can kind of share? Like, what did you see while you were under that?
I mean, I can give you one. So, like, the one that honestly changed my life is when, like, the first time I took a major dose, me and my friends were all in the woods, and, again, I had taken this huge dose. I'd never done this before, and it hit me, and I essentially was freaked out for a little bit, and then I went on a walk by myself in the woods, you know, away from everybody, and I essentially started communicating with the tree, and, it took me a long time to recall what this tree was telling me. I know it sounds insane, but they are alive, and it's important to know that, trees are, essentially can be conscious. And what the tree told me is that everything on this planet is connected. And the trees, everything, they're all connected to this underground wiring, like the nervous system of the entire planet. And we are connected to that, but you have to reconnect yourself because essentially you're disconnected in this regular world we live in. You know, you're always wearing your shoes and you're
not deliberately
connected to the air. That's why...
It's deliberate that we are. We had to dress in those ways to cut us off.
Right. We're wearing rubber on our feet so we can't feel the connection to Earth. That's why there's a lot of, different cultures in the world who make sure to connect with Mother Earth, through your feet. And there's scientific evidence that, you know, literally proves that, it has healing power to the body.
Yeah.
And that stuff is fascinating, man. It took me a long time and a lot of, meditation to figure out, you know, what it was or how to put it into words, because obviously this wasn't words. It was like being beamed into my head. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it wasn't actually talking to me, but it was like being beamed into my head. And like, if you want an example of what I'm talking about, watch the, there's a Netflix special called, what the heck is it called? It's the one on magic mushrooms, man. Like, and it talks about mycelium and which is essentially what mushrooms grow out of is this organism called mycelium, and it exists in, you know, it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, it's literally like a god essentially, because it breaks down, you know, in rebirths, like it breaks down dead things and then the mushrooms grow up, and it's like a cycle. Like, I don't know how to explain it, man. It's like essentially like God, the Mother Earth. And exactly what that freaking documentary was talking about is exactly what I've seen. Like, this huge network, like a nervous system of the planet. It's nuts, man.
Well, you know, it's weird. If you watch the movie Avatar, they literally do that in that movie towards the beginning when they're out, you know, experimenting. They inject this electrical field into the root system, and it shows on our screen that it's spreading all underground across the different root systems. And they even say that it's all connected, like one major network.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That movie is dropping some serious spiritual bombs. A lot of people have missed the mark on that one because, like, that movie is giving you some deep stuff. Not only, like, about how, like, plants and all that are connected and that we need to make sure that industrialization doesn't destroy our planet, but but it's talking about how, like, there's a spot where he's able to transfer his consciousness. And there's all sorts of talk in, like, the ancient tablets, ancient texts, like the Book of the Dead talks about their ability to transfer consciousness into new bodies. Apparently, they were said to have this technology. And I guarantee you this technology, if it's possible, probably exists in our world today.
Well, they did that in Avatar 2, remember, at the very end, when he wanted to transfer his consciousness. Yep, I believe it could happen.
Yeah, dude, I think personally, like, when they do stuff like that in these major Hollywood movies, they're trying to tell you, like, something. Like, it's giving you the answer without giving you the answer. A lot of people are like, oh, no, that's not true. No, but is it? Like, have you ever really thought about how many different movies and watched all the hidden gems they have? And, like back in the Terminator movies and all that stuff, they talk about the dangers of AI. And, like, now we're starting to see the dangers of AI. Like, all kinds of stuff, man. I mean,
it's not coming around.
Probably will take us all out.
I mean, why not? I mean, AI, I mean, when it does, it exists now. It's a real thing now. But what if they actually create bodies for these AIs, if they haven't already? They're going to see us as beneath them. They're more smart than we are. You know, they're more intelligent. They're faster. You know, why wouldn't they want to take over?
Dude, have you ever looked into the agency is that's doing all the robotic experiments? Like, they're even, I mean, some of these, they got pretty advanced with some of these robotic stuff, man. Like, they're able to do all kinds of stuff. And it will not be too long before we're using robots in war or, you know, like, Tesla's trying to put robots in the house, like the Tesla bot. Like, That's gonna be interesting, man. It's either gonna go really good and it's gonna help us, or it's going to turn the other way and kill us all.
Yeah, more than likely, it'll turn out bad. Kind of like the Matrix, I guess you could say. And they put us in a dream world if we're not already in one. But you know,
like, as I've one of the things that I've read through the, like, a little bit through the story of Lumerians, like, it honestly, I get the vibe, like, straight, now that you mention it, straight, like, from the Avatar movie. Like, this is kind of how this story describes them. I wonder if if honestly they got inspiration from that movie through this, because, like, it talks about how they lived in these dwellings that were part of, like, the trees. Like, they communicated with all sorts of creatures. They communicated with each other. Of course, they talked in the movie because that's that's just, we're not gonna
you're not gonna do the sympathy for the whole movie and make us read subtitles,
right, exactly. I don't know, man, it just rings a lot of bells for me.
Oh yeah, me too.
Definitely a lot more freaking in-depth notes on this, but it is what it is. So back to, like, the Akashic Records, man. That's another thing that fascinates me, because it talks about that in the Law of One, too. Like, you mentioned the Akashic Records, and that's probably, honestly, where this source, you know, if you want to believe that, allegedly. I believe it, but...
I'm pretty sure I've been there myself. I can't remember it in detail, but I'm pretty sure I've been there.
Right, I mean, it's, like... I don't know, if you believe in any kind of a spiritual thing, like, to me, anything, any of this stuff is possible, and that's what I choose to believe, is that, you know, anything is possible. Like, I don't think we need to keep our mind so narrow. I think it's important to, like, accept that literally anything is possible. Keep your worldview wide open and let it, you know, as you take in new information, let your worldview shift, let it change, because it's stupid to have a narrow worldview. It doesn't get you anywhere. Really,
that's true. That is true. You got to keep an open mind.
Like, people get so angry and so defensive about dumb stuff because, like, it's really hard to face a lot of the truth. Like I get, I understand, like, I was talking to my mom the other day. Like, I absolutely understand why my mom won't take in any information outside of, like, outside of the Bible, essentially. It's, you know, it's scary. Like, you devoted so much of your life to this one source of truth. And I get it. I really do.
And you also program to think if you don't, you're going to spend eternity in hell.
Yes. Yep. I was going to try to avoid saying that. But yes, it is definitely a fear-based model. That is, I mean, definitely true, man. And it's hard to avoid talking about that. Like, I've been, I don't know, I had somebody message me and was talking about it. It seems like I've been really against religion. And to be honest, like, most of my life, I completely feel alienated by the Christian community, any kind of religious folks, because of, you know, I've just chosen to believe other things. And it's that alienation that really led to my drive to research anything else outside of that. And essentially, I mean, it started out as a reason to prove people wrong. Like, yes, like, you know, this isn't the only culture or only group that believes in God. They all do. It's all the same thing. And it's honestly can all stem back from these societies, especially. Like, I do think, again, I do think that Atlantis is definitely connected to the Anunnaki 100%. However, this other culture, Mu, I don't think so. But I think that the difference in these two cultures and the way that it describes their beliefs does explain why we have, like, say, for example, like the Native Americans, how they had what is essentially – like the Avatar folks, they had that kind of belief system in the earth, you know, the sacredness of the land and that the earth was essentially alive. And it's fascinating, like, because those beliefs don't fit into all the other societies whatsoever. The Native Americans are super unique in that regard. Like they had, again, they believed in the sacred. This is more along the lines of what I believe, in all honesty, but, like, that's part of it, at least. I think that's just one part of the big picture. But it does say that in some of these things that after the continent essentially was sank or however it went down, like they migrated to parts of Russia and North America. And again, that kind of fits because, again, like, it doesn't make any sense. These cultures, you know, essentially just worshiped the land. They had no connection with the outside world. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, there's a lot of this world that doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, I don't know, you take a freaking white person, take somebody from Japan, like, we look completely, why did evolution do this? Like, why is it that I understand the language, like, we speak different languages, perhaps we came up differently, why do we look so different? Like, why did evolution do that? You know, I don't think it explains that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anything explains that. Like, why, as, you know, all of us look so different? Like,
that's,
you know, you can, the sun
races.
Can explain, right. Like, the sun can explain the melanin, it can explain, you know, some of us being, like, more tan, you know, but, like, facial structures, all that neat stuff, like, it's so different. It's almost like humanity is a giant science experiment, right? Like, how many different ET races could bring it up to see which one of us can get the civilization up to enlightenment quickest. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It does make you wonder, like, if with all these different races currently on Earth right now, I mean, what taught that, like, for example, Moses or Adam and Eve were white people, but who's to say they were? I mean, what race were these people back in those days?
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, I don't know where anybody gets the information that Adam and Eve were white. Like, that, I don't think it says that. I've never read that part in the Bible that says they're white. Like, I mean, have you read it?
It doesn't give any actual real detailed explanation. I mean, in their drawings, they're perceived as white, but in the Bible, I guess it doesn't actually give any descriptions.
Right. And, I mean, in the Sumerian tablets, it certainly gives descriptions on Adam and Eve. And, it's a controversial subject, but I mean, according to the Sumerian scriptures, like they were definitely black, like Adam and Eve, Adamu and mitochondria, yeah. Eve, whatever. I can't remember the exact name for Eve, but like according to them, they were black.
Well, you know, I have heard recently that they did trace everybody's roots, you know, based on their DNA. That everybody on Earth right now, if you go back far enough, came from black people. They were the original people on the planet, supposedly.
Right, and it just so happens to be a coincidence that, you know, the Sumerian tablets say exactly that. Like, you mm-hmm. know, they were the first created humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks to say that they were created as a worker. But yeah, like, again, I'm not coming from any kind of a place. I'm just saying that, you know, is definitely seems to be the case. And this,
yeah.
to me, makes a whole lot more sense than, you know, the idea that you just created and, you know, just out of nowhere, just, hey, I'm going to create these humans. I'm going to let them live in this garden. That makes no damn sense at all. And then they proliferated and two people made the entire world. Nah, come on, bro. Doesn't make any sense.
That means we're literally all related.
Yeah, come on, man. We done incested the whole planet. Like that's one of the loopholes that never made any sense.
It's,
or one of the holes.
It's literally impossible. I mean, there's over a billion people on the planet. We couldn't have all came from just two. It's impossible.
Nah, definitely not. It makes a whole lot more sense that we were like essentially genetic. We're clones. Like we were created for a purpose, and then after that purpose started being fulfilled and like we started, you know, they essentially gave us civilization. That would explain why civilization popped up out of nowhere. Like none of that makes any sense. It really doesn't. And like,
it doesn't,
it makes me laugh when people are like, no, this is how it is. But like, no, this is how it is because somebody told you that's how it is. Like none of that makes any sense.
Yeah.
How do you just develop the ability to grow crops? And not to mention that a lot of these crops, like they can't actually find the origin on Earth of some of these crops. Like there is no explanation for, like, I think it's, was it corn? Like there, I was watching, or grains, corns or grains are one of them. Like they were saying they traced it back and they can't find the original plant. Like they have no idea where it came from. But again, you read the Sumerian tablets, they talk about that. They talk about how they brought grains and all that kind of stuff from Nibiru. They bought different types of animals that they could domesticate, like cattle, cows. Like cows don't make any sense. Like how the hell would a regular cow or a sheep, you know, exist in nature, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, think of it this way, like ayahuasca, for example, is a combination of like two or three different plants in the middle of a huge forest that has probably thousands of varieties of different types of plants. How did they know which specific two to take and mix together to create ayahuasca?
Right, and they got to cook it, actually, too. Like, not only do they got to mix it, but they have to cook it. Because...
Precise.
Like,
somebody had to tell them.
Because the thing about it is, like, if you were just to eat DMT, take DMT and eat it, it doesn't do anything. Because your body has a thing that switches it off. Why we have that? Why do you have something in your body that switches DMT off when you eat it? So what you have to do is you have to – they make it into this brew, and that bypasses your body's thing, and that's what – that's why ayahuasca is one of the most powerful medicine known to man. It's like
mm-hmm. –
like, that's something I've been wanting to go down to the Amazon and do. Like, that's a bucket list.
Oh,
I
man.
I would love to.
I would love to.
It's said to be like – it's said to be like doing 10 years of therapy in a single session. And obviously it's not,
mm-hmm.
generally it's not the most pleasant experience. It's not. It's not meant to be a, hey, I'm getting high. No, it is an absolute mind journey, and you're going to deal with all your trauma, all your pain, anything you've been hiding. Like it's, you know, facing yourself and facing the shadow side of you. And that's the key. That's why anybody who says that they've done it, like they say, it's like, it's a huge weight lifted off your chest. And honestly, again, that's something I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Because it lasts pretty much for hours and hours, unlike just a regular DMT hit, which is like a couple of minutes. Ayahuasca lasts for 8 hours or something like that?
I don't know the exact duration, but, I don't know. It probably is it probably is a few hours, like most psychedelics are when you ingest them, because you feel the effects mm-hmm. the entire time it's being digested, essentially. And however long that takes,
yeah.
you know, like the mushrooms, you feel it for 5-6 hours. LSD is different. You feel that like 11 hours, man, you're still high. That's,
oh, geez.
But that's a man-made, that's a man-made
yeah.
chemical. Like,
that's
not,
what I wouldn't miss.
That was something that was developed by somebody and then used by the CIA. Like,
mm-hmm.
again, people call that conspiracy theory nonsense, but it's 100% true that they were using it mm-hmm. on people to try to bring out latent psychic abilities, and they definitely know that it works. Like,
oh, it does.
The times that I've taken acid, because I'm a sensitive, like, it enhances any kind of psychic ability that I have, like, tenfold. I'm able to hear things I shouldn't hear. I'm able to see things I shouldn't see. And, like, what it does, like, the Law of One talks about it. It's a dangerous game, especially with doing ayahuasca. Like, that's something you should never do without, like, a shamanic person next to you or something like that, somebody who is trained
yeah.
in that kind of stuff, because you're accessing a realm that if you're not ready, your chakra system's not aligned properly, you can get really negative in beings coming into your experience. And that's why some people have
mm-hmm.
super, super negative trips
mm-hmm.
because you're essentially cheating. You're cheating the chakra system by doing that. Instead of doing the proper work and then, you know, unblocking them the right way, you're like, bam, hey.
yeah. I mean, I'm definitely curious about it, but I'm also kind of a little bit of scared at the same time, but I still want to try it someday.
Right, and actually some of the tribes that started using ayahuasca, first of all, they said that they got the information from the plants. The plants told them how to make it. And that's kind of fascinating, man. It's the reason why I think it's valid to this is because, again, the Lemurians that said to went to North America and parts of, like, what is it, like Middle America or Mesoamerica, they call it, are said to be part of this, you know, original group that migrated all over the earth. And what did they do? They said that they, again, lived in sacredness with the land. They communicated with earth spirits or whatever you want to call it. And, I think it's heavily important that people understand that the earth itself is really alive. And
mm-hmm.
I believe that the earth is conscious, like the earth is a god. The Sumerians called all the planets gods.
Makes sense to me, yeah.
Oh, 100%, man. The planets, like, there's all sorts of proof that the planet itself creates life. Like, if you watch some of the Planet Earth documentaries, like, there's these underwater, I forgot what they're, like, volcanic vents or something like that. There's, like, they've taken samples of it, and it's literally teeming with life. Like, it literally creates life spontaneously, and it's nuts.
mm-hmm.
It's nuts. Oh,
it's,
goodness.
It's really cool stuff. All right.
Yeah, like,
so go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. That's definitely getting off on some tangents on psychedelics. But it's all good, man. I think it all.
That was good information for sure.
No, yeah, dude. But, I think so. I think that's something, you know, wherever the direction of our thought patterns here take us is an important places to go.
Definitely. I know a lot of people here are here to learn about this Lemurian stuff. So what else you got about these guys?
Yeah, I mean, other than, again, like, I had way more detailed notes than this, but let's see if I can. Again, it talks about here, like, they lived in, like, essentially, you know, in trees. Like, they live in trees that they, like, they made houses, but inside the trees. Like, a lot of the hollowed out. They also made a lot of underground cities, underground, that's what they call them, like underground dwellings. So there's actually I believe it's the Middle East, or I don't know where it is, but there's these underground cities that nobody really knows who built them, man. Like, it's something to Google when you get a second. Like, you look at some of these, they're elaborate underground, like, look like they would have been built by the dwarves and freaking, like, the Lord of the Rings, man. Like, those, they're just elaborate things that don't make any sense. Like, how and why were they?
So were they subterranean? Were they subterranean people then? Or?
It says both. It says, like, some lived in the subterranean, some lived in the like the upper world in the trees. I think it depends according to this. Like, they said that they gauge a lot of their people based on how many incarnations they've had. Like, they divided their people amongst, you know, the higher, you know, the more incarnations you have, essentially the more knowledge you're able to attain.
Right.
Because you're further along on the spiritual path. So they gauge everything in their society based on how far you are along spiritually. And
interesting.
I think that's pretty fascinating, man, because, like, in order to be, like, they say, like, the initiates, they use these words initiates, just like the Egyptians use the word initiates, just like all over the world they use this. So, like, these were specially chosen people who were able to attain advanced spiritual knowledge. Like, Jesus would have been considered an initiate. And according to, you know, the lost years of Jesus, which is a text that, you know, people should definitely look into, because it talks about the time he spent in the Eastern cultures. Like, he went all over the world and studied under, you know, Buddhism, under the Hindus, under all these people to learn about all this stuff. And and according to them, he was also initiated into the Egyptian priesthood, I guess. You know, I find that to be quite fascinating, man. Gives a different picture at all. Because there's a, you know, if you ever heard of the Jesus lost years, there's a point, like, there's a ton of years that's missing. That doesn't make any sense. And,
well, even in the Bible, he starts out as a kid, and all of a sudden he's in his 30s. It doesn't say what happened in between the end of there.
No, it's in, so if you look into the apocryphary books, as they're called, it's, yeah, in the Bible, there's a lot that was taken out. So it was compiled by, I had this all again. I had that part written down in my other notes. But it was, what was the guy's name? Anyway, it was compiled by a king. I'll come back with the name later. But it was a committee that decided what was going to go in and what was not going to go in. So, like, I was supposed to mention that, I think, in our last episode when we touched on religion, because, like, it's important because people have no idea where their religion actually comes from. And you take it at face value, yes, it's the book, but what you don't know is the history of that, like, that it was compiled, you know, by a group of people, and there was a whole hell of a lot more that they decided, hey, this ain't making the cut. This doesn't make any sense. We're good. We're not putting that in there. And that ain't cool, man. I think they should keep stuff as it is. And, like, when you read the Book of Enoch and stuff like that, like, it starts to make, the story starts to make a whole lot more sense.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know why they wouldn't want it to make more sense, but, hey, whatever.
Well, that's what I question, too. Like, this is literally the Word of God. Why would you want to omit any of it?
Yeah, how do you have the authority to omit the Word of God when you really boil it down to, like, so you're just, God is just cool with you being like, nah, I'm not putting that in there. Or,
right.
Again, I'm going to touch on this controversial subject. Was the God of the Bible really the actual God, or was this an advanced being that wanted to control us?
in any case, he was perceived as God. If he's
God,
or just some being that, I mean, it's the same either way. People don't want to think of it that way, but when it boils down to it, you got this supreme being who may or may not have created you, and you're told to worship him as a God. You're going to call him God. And, of course, to you, in your mind, he's all-loving, powerful, would never do anything to hurt you, but yet, in the stories, he's burning down villages over one person's sins and taking offerings from goats and sheep being killed on altars. I mean,
like, yeah, that, and that always, that somebody brought up that question, like, a while, like, actually, it was a book I was reading that brought up that question. If that were to happen today, if an entire city was burned down and they said, you know, it was God did it, and he punished people, would we be okay with that whole city being burned down? Or would you have remorse? Like, that's honestly God truth. That's something to ask, because this is what you teach the kids. Like, you're, hey, you better do this or God's going to come down and wipe us all out. Like, that's crazy, man.
Short answer to that question, he'd be labeled a lunatic and put in an insane asylum.
Right. But this is, you know, there's so many examples of these, of those type of things in the Bible. It's out of control, like so many. There was actually like a little quiz that's on a, on this, I think it's like this Bible satire website that talked about, I think there's like 30 different questions that ask, and it compares them to like a mass murderer. And it's like, hey, would you be cool with this? And then it's like, no, that was really God that did that, according to the Bible.
I've seen that. I've seen that. Yeah.
What is it on? I don't know. I know that the dude in the Slay Species to the Gods book, like, he referenced that one, and like it's
that's
it blew
me
off,
yeah.
Blew my mind the first time. Like, yeah, I think that's where it comes from. Like, it's a hard part to get through. It's like, man, what the hell is he doing this quiz for? And then it's like, oh, it all makes sense now. He's trying to prove a point.
That basically God, as perceived in those days, is evil.
Right. So back, like, I was reading this other part on the, because there was a part I really wanted to touch on. On the Lemurians, because it was fat. It was, I think it's this part. So, you know, they were talking about how, like, their society was learning the ideas of good and evil, and it said here that, according to this, like, womankind gave birth to the first conceptions of good and evil. Here they began, on one hand, to love that which made a special impression on their imaginative life, and on the other hand, to hate its opposite. I'm not exactly sure what that means. But their imaginative life. So what does that mean, right? Like,
right.
Again, I was reading through this, and they said, you know, in all their texts that this world that we live in is an illusion. And that's part of, you know, according to a lot of people, this is where that idea came from altogether, is the Lemurian society. And we, I guess, get a lot of our, like, more advanced spiritual knowledge from them. And then Atlantis, we get a lot more of our – so these people didn't live like the way we live in society today. Like, the way we live in society today came from, according to, I guess, from the Atlanteans. So these people lived in a completely different fashion than we do, just like the Native Americans. They lived in harmony with the land. It was Atlantis, the Atlanteans, that started building, you know, cities and towns and places of worship and stuff like that. I don't know. I find that quite fascinating, man.
There is a quote.
There's more of that.
One of my favorite quotes. But... Well, I'm going to say this quote real quick. We've all said it. We've all heard it. Perception is reality. So what does that tell you?
Right. Perception. Yeah, perception is reality. Like, what does that tell me? Like, that's essentially you, like, the way you view the world is reality. Like, I mean, to you, this is another man. I keep going back to psychedelic trips, but they give me good examples, man. There was a time I did acid at my house one time, and like I was sitting on the couch meditating, and a cat out of nowhere came up to my back door in the middle. This was 2 o'clock in the morning. It didn't make any sense. He came up to the window of my back window and was just staring at me, just literally staring at me for a good minute. And I looked into his eyes, and like, dude, I had this flash, and it was like, to this cat looking in, because it was cold outside, it was, you know, not very nice. I have everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
here
I am thinking, you know, depressed and thinking I don't have, you know, what I need in life. But in reality, to another person, I have everything. And that's something, you know, important. There's some people in the world that don't have anything. So your perception really is everything, everything that matters. Yeah, that's, again, one of the things that have shifted my perception.
That'll do it. Wow. All right, so coming down to the five-minute mark, does you have any final words of wisdom or any shout-outs or anything?
Yeah, I apologize for my child flushing my notes, like putting them in the toilet. I wasn't going to attempt to use them, man, because that toilet was nasty.
I'm waiting.
That was so bad, dude. Like, the other day, I got to put this stuff out of his reach or start typing on the tablet or something, man, like, because he, like, scribbled all over the other day, like, tyrannical 2-year-old, man. Anyway, I've been, again, trying to record regularly on my Stream for Night Universe podcast on Anchor.
Yep.
Like, definitely still doing this every week, which is, this is my favorite part of the week, honestly. I'm glad we were able to do it today. Sorry about last week.
It's fine.
Things
it
come
happens.
Up.
Yes, life happens.
Definitely, man. This is taking me down some really good rabbit holes, and, like, it's a good thing. It's like, I've always had bad habits most of my life, so to me, it's a good habit to, like, sit and try to research and actually take the time to set aside for myself and, like, make sure I'm doing stuff like this. Nope, because it's fun, man. It's a good outlet, and it helps. It helps
it
mentally, too.
Definitely. So what do you want to talk about?
I appreciate the opportunity to come on here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have that exact thing, man. I don't have the exact idea, but it's...
Well, to be determined.
To be determined. Because, again, as I've researched this more and more, like, there's obviously way more to the story than just the Anunnaki story. But, again, I believe that they're a big part of our history and a lot of our myths and all that stuff, if you want to call it that. Because I definitely don't believe any of this is myth. I think it all actually happened. I think 100%, like, this all actually happened.
Agreed.
And I slowly but surely think that you know, time is going to tell that answer. Like, we're going to realize that, hey, there was giants existing back in the day. There was, you know, advanced beings from outer space. That's the stuff I'm into.
And maybe sooner than later.
And hopefully we don't get blown up by nukes before we get to do another show.
If that happens, we'll catch up on the Acoustic Records. We'll go there ourselves.
Indeed. That's the other thing, man. Like, death doesn't exist, man. Like, we are, again, never born. We're never going to die. At least our soul, our energy, what our consciousness, whatever you want to call it. Like, I stopped
fearing death.
Your body's
going to die, but you're not your body.
Right, no, 100%. Not at all. Without a doubt, man. And I hope that more people, you know, listening, again, like, the idea of all this, it's just question the world around you, because, like, most people, again, don't ever question outside of the box. And that's what you got to do.
That's it.
I've been, you know, a lot of people have been listening to this, like, that I work with, and, like, I've never had so many people, like, that I never would have thought were along this path, like, oh, my God, I want to hear more about this or that. And, like, damn, man, it's fascinating. I'm like,
that's a good
I'm good with just helping her. You know, getting one person to talk about it, like,
yeah,
well, you know, it gives me somebody else to talk to, because, I mean, as you know, like, this is not a subject that people really want to go down, because it's like, oh, you're looked at like you're freaking crazy when you talk about extraterrestrials and stuff.
Oh,
like
that's
that.
Nonsense. Yeah, yeah. Be careful who you talk about it with, for sure.
Of course, man. Yeah, I mean, shit. Back in the day, we'd have been burned as witches on the stake, sir.
Oh, shoot. Heck yeah. All right, so we got about a minute and a half left. I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I make a few announcements here, but thanks again, Josh, for being on tonight. And I'll be putting out an ad for the next show once we figure out what we're going to talk about.
Hey, yeah, buddy. Well, you have a good night.
All right. You too. Always a pleasure. All right, so that once again, I want to thank Josh for being with us. I do want to make some announcements here real quick before we end up. There is some changes coming. I've already changed the name of our blog here from Paranormal Truth Seekers to Chronicles of a Mysterious Universe. That seems a bit more beneficial, more broad, so we can cover more subject matter with. And anyway, stay tuned next week for when me and Josh come back on Tuesday. And me and William Glenn will be having a show on Sunday this week instead of Saturday. So keep an eye out for those ads there. And I want to thank you all for listening. If you haven't already, look me up on Facebook. And we'll catch you on the next show. You have a great night. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mind open. And keep exploring the unknown.